Well, hello, friends. On today's show, pickleball for the olds and creating thinking for the young. There's food on the roof, and a dude who's been dead for a while put out a banger. Here's a hint. It's not Tupac. Isaac, please give us the intro.
It's a few years into the aftertimes. You get what I'm talking about. So come on. What say we get together, have a few drinks, talk about the good stuff happening in this world? You up for that? Then have a seat, because all the best conversations happen when you're two beers in. Here are your hosts, Brett Weaver and Monica Ballard.
Are you saying you're in Grandpa Zane? Is that what you are?
Yes.
Somewhere in between. Anyway. Okay.
Yeah. The dangers of, you know, parking in a new spot and, you know, doing your podcast.
Yeah.
In a new place.
It is in a new place.
It is. Yeah.
But a place that I think this is one of the original places that I came to when I first moved to town.
Is it?
Back in 2001. Because this was here. This has been here for years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My first bar that I drank in Austin was the Driscoll.
Oh, wow.
So that set the bar. That set the bar pretty high.
It had just opened. And
I'm that old. Yes. I sat under that big cow head, took a drink, looked up, and thought, damn, I'm in Texas.
Boy, am I in Texas.
Sorry, Mr. Roosevelt. I really don't want to go to Cuba.
Yeah. Wrong place.
Wrong hotel.
And you're listening to Two Beers In.
Hey!
Which is a podcast where we sit in places, drink delicious ales, and talk about what ails us. I haven't done that one, so
no.
I thought it was...
Yeah,
I am one of
done.
Your hosts, Brett Weaver. I'm enjoying a live oak Oktoberfest.
Oh. Okay.
And it's quite delicious.
I'm Monica Ballard, your co-host. I'm on my second beer because I got here first.
Sure.
Had the Meridian Hive blueberry or blackberry.
The cider. Sure.
And now because I emptied the cask apparently. Yeah. They just let me park underneath, and they opened the tap.
I'm just sad you didn't just say, I blew the keg, because that's what I was hoping you would say.
It's not like I belong to a fraternity or anything. No, now I'm having a dry cider. Okay. I'm having a dry cider.
Great. And there's Doug over there. He's back.
Well, hi.
Yeah. Hey. Wiggled out of the straitjacket, got right back here.
Sure. Well, Houdini, what are you drinking?
I have an Amber Waves, which is an Amber American beer.
Where's it from?
I think it's made right here on the premises.
Oh, yep. Yes.
Yep. Speaking of the premises.
We are here at the Draft House, not Draft House Cinema,
no.
But the Draft House on Medical Parkway, which is just... Okay, look. If you're in Austin and you're driving up Burnett and it suddenly turns into something else, that's Medical
that's
Parkway.
That's the street, yeah.
And it's this great bar, a brew pub that has been around for I don't even know how long. What?
Like I said,
I moved here in 2001.
They're celebrating their 23rd anniversary this coming...
Well, so then they must have just opened when I got to town.
I guess so.
Yeah.
And they haven't changed the feng shui since.
I love everything about this place. Because they have the tables that have been re-shellacked and re-shellacked and have carvings into it. You know, you can't build old.
It's kind of a Paul Bunyan flavor to it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And you got the dartboards. And now there's almost like an Oktoberfest style seating outside.
And they have the smallest...
vestibule?
No, they have the smallest. What is the game you showed me?
Oh, the video game.
Yes.
Yes. I don't know if
Space
you saw
invaders?
This, Brett. When you came through, if you look through the window here.
Yes.
Look at the Space Invaders.
Oh, there is a tiny Space Invader.
Yes.
It's like the one that you would buy at Toys R Us.
Right. Exactly.
Still around.
Yeah, exactly. Like attached to the wall.
They're like, fine, just do this.
It makes up for the extra large. restroom that men and women can go into.
Yes.
It's like, you go in there and you're like, yeah, you could have made this too.
Yeah.
You could have made this male and female, but no, you want it to be
gauche.
There we go, gauche.
Or have a party room.
So, yes.
Seeing how things have happened.
Things have happened.
I wanted to do the happiest fucking stories that we could possibly find.
Selling it so far.
And I'm going to do it because you know where we're going to start? We're going to start with pickleball because pickleball is a sport that I haven't played yet, but I have been, I think I've actually got EK agreeing. I said, we're both going to go into this not knowing how to play it at all. So she will do well eventually and not think, oh, I suck at this. Like, we all suck at this.
But I feel, once again, like the story was written by AI.
Yep.
That had no idea what pickleball was or how it's played or I don't know.
Then I'll just sum up.
Did it tell us what kind of pickles to pick to use as a ball?
It says, so when you're getting pickleballs, make sure you get the gherkin pickleballs.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Because if you get
the
sour dill balls, then they have a funk to them, and you really don't. Anyway.
I mean.
See, AI is not that bad. It could have been Brett.
Well, when we get there, I want you to
yes.
let's have a little bell or something.
Asterisk.
Ding, 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 ding. Like, you'll just go, Brett, ding, ding, ding. Do something like that.
Like from Breaking Bad.
Sure.
So I'll just read it. I'll just read it, and then we'll.
Okay.
And then you'll.
Yeah.
Here's the way it goes. So, I did it. I forgot to. Lois White. Lois White puts the elder in elderly.
Ding, ding, ding.
There it is. But she's lived a life. And boy, we're going to celebrate it from one corner of the country to the next. I don't know. So, pickleball is a game that's like tennis, but on a smaller court. Right?
For people who don't like to run.
Yes.
Yes.
Still a fun game, and it's fun to see Karens freak out in TikTok clips of when the ball gets hit at them and then they freak out. So Lois, every Tuesday and Thursday, she would take to the pickleball court at the New Century Fieldhouse, Gardner, Kansas. She holds her own against whippersnappers in their 50s and 60s. Little ding, ding, ding. Yeah. On top of this, I play cards every week.
Ooh.
White told KCTV.
Slow down, Lois.
But Lois is 95 years old. Let's make that very clear. But she also picked up square dancing. Then I decided I want to play the mandolin. And also, I want to get out of the house. So I bought me some books. I do and play and sing. And I belong to the pickers and the fiddlers. So this sounds like a slightly younger version of your parents, Monica. No? Yes? No.
Well, they're both deceased.
Well, but I'm saying when they were in their 90s.
Yes, yes. When my dad was in his 90s, he was in a band, in an orchestra. He arranged music. He watched Fox News a lot.
Was it Led Zeppelin?
Yeah, listen to Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, actually, I mean,
he had a good varied palette.
Yes, 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 he did.
And I know that sounds great that Lois is beating
enjoying
50
the
and 60 years
of life,
doing demolition.
But that's not all she's doing. She is also this is just an example. Born before an airplane had ever flown over Kansas, she married a soldier at age 17 and had 6 kids. We always did what the kids wanted to do, and I played basketball, football, you name it. My husband and I had a softball team with our daughters for years. So after her husband passed 30 years ago, this woman continued to stay busy.
Oh, say it. Say it.
No.
Say it.
No.
What's happening?
Which is easy to do when you have 6 kids, 20 grandkids, 37 great-grandkids, and now 4 great-great-grandkids.
God, I'd hate Christmas.
Yeah.
I know.
Many of these offspring tell her she needs to take it easy, but she interjects, fuck off. I can do whatever the hell I want. I'm 95 years old. You know what? I will play pickleball. I'll go fuck a guy. Okay. You know what? I'm going to do whatever it is that I'm going to do.
I think the AI's gone rogue.
Because I'm stubborn.
Stubborn.
Oh. Yes, she's that's stubborn. Right. Oh. They described her as stubborn.
The thing that she says... One thing I do know, besides pickleball and all these other things, is that you got to keep moving. And so that's what she's doing. Good for her. What's aggravating you about this?
I just don't see how it's newsworthy.
Well, it's just someone who's staying up and running around at 95 years old.
Okay, I know plenty of people like that.
Then bring it here and tell us about these people.
All right, all right.
Yeah, last time I saw my great-grandfather, he was 89 years old, and he had climbed on his roof to kick leaves off. It was like, all right, I guess he's not slowing down.
And that was the last time I saw him.
Yep, because he had a stroke right after.
Well, thanks, Doug.
More good news.
Uplifting.
Good news, everyone.
Oh, wait. Yeah, so there's
okay,
that.
Okay, all right. So what else you got?
Well,
as my business partner would say when I present advertising copy to him, what else you got?
Wow.
Yeah.
Why don't you take the next story then?
Okay. Yeah, I have issues with this story too.
Feel free to open up. Seriously.
Was there other kind of news that was interrupting the flow?
I don't know.
Hang on. I have to open with Safari.
Sure you do.
There we go. Parents are preparing Gen Alpha kids for the future by prioritizing creative thinking. Parents are prioritizing creative activities with your young children to prepare them for the future, according to a new poll. The survey of 2,000 parents of Gen Alpha children born after 2010 examined early childhood parenting and playtime conducted by Talker Research, sounds made up, and commissioned by Littlest Pet Shop. What? Okay. The survey found that creativity is a top consideration for parents. Indeed, fully 85% agreed that it is a skill that will help their children stand out in the future job markets.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. They tainted the article by mentioning...
Work. Yeah.
It's kind of like,
Will make them good candidates instead of entrepreneurs that can do their own thing and find their own.
Or, I don't know, happy.
Sure.
All right. When asked which skills they believe are most essential in childhood development, creativity topped the parents' list for nearly 7 in 10 respondents, with problem solving tied for a second with social skills at 63%.
Okay.
Nearly half, around 47%, are worried about AI impacting job availability, Brett, for their kids. Mm-hmm. And 45% are concerned AI will harm their children's ability to generate new ideas and original thoughts.
Yeah, that's all very true. That was kind of the thing that drew my eye, was that they're teaching their kids creative thinking so then they can kind of get around AI. You know, or find not depend on it.
4 in 5 parents also agreed that storytelling should be a part of their children's daily schedule. To foster the skill of creative storytelling, parents are reading to their kids and telling them stories. Like, your daddy just went out for cigarettes.
He'll be back in
a decade.
That
was 10 years ago.
35% are even acting out stories with their children, and 30% are joining kids to play dress up. The importance of cultivating creativity in early childhood development can't be emphasized enough, a vice president at Basic Fund said.
Basic Fund.
It's your basic fund. And under the umbrella of creativity, there's creative storytelling, an essential skill that kids will carry and use throughout their entire lives and in their careers. Yes. So when I worked at a Fortune 500 company. Yeah, that's creative storytelling right there.
Yeah.
I was really good at stacking blocks.
No, I have a master's degree.
In science.
In science.
Three quarters of parents surveyed wish they had more ideas for engaging in imaginative play with their child. You know what they need? You know what those parents need?
AI.
Creativity.
Well, they're saying we're trying to give our kids a thing that we don't have.
I don't know. My parents didn't like my creativity. They wanted me to do what I was told because being ADHD, well, yeah, they didn't want me to come up with
go
stuff.
Go be a drone. Stop yeah. being yeah, interesting.
Yeah, wore them out.
Yeah.
Stand in light.
Yeah.
The study found that although parents do want to cultivate creativity and imagination in their kids, they wish they had more tools to encourage these skills even more.
Okay. What it doesn't this sound like a good thing?
Kind of sounds like a story I've read 25 times in my lifetime.
Sure.
Yeah, before AI.
Yeah.
Right.
Before iPads and phones.
Sorry, I was just depending on AI to find these stories.
Yeah,
so
I know. Yeah.
Thanks, algorithm.
I hope my kid isn't a serial killer. Yeah, the novel.
One thing that bugs me about when I visit my grandkids is that they're all engrossed in technology at the table.
Yeah.
And it's not even when we eat out. It's especially prominent when we eat out.
Yeah.
But it's even becoming prominent now when we're
Hanging out.
Just hanging out or having a holiday meal. It's like, can't we just engage? Come on.
So how do you engage in those situations? Asking for a friend.
I will usually ask a question that can't be found on their technology.
Yeah.
You know, like, what did you see that was astonishing today?
Yeah.
Or did you see anything on the drive over here? Or, you know, what funny thing did your cat do lately? Or
sure.
something like that. That's more engaging. Well, hey, what if your cat could be a storybook character? What kind of...
What would that character be?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not an answer they can find on that iPad or...
Right.
...in the phone. It's connecting their personal experience to something that they have to fabricate in their minds.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you think I do all day? You know, that kind of thing.
I'll be having that conversation with EK later on tonight. Like, so, baby, what is it you think I do all day?
I've had those conversations with bosses.
Yes. What is it that you think do?
No, what is it you think I do all day?
Yeah.
Civilization kind of 6, right?
That works out well. It is wonderful at the job that I'm at right now that that we do engage a little bit more. We are encouraged, and I'm the oldest person in the room, but we are all encouraged to kind of engage. As long as we're not, like, screwing up somebody's workflow that they're trying to do. But there are so many times where that's a good thing about this job is, and we're... Like, the youngest person in the room is 19.
Yeah.
And then there's two other people, and then me, who's not 19. And so that's something I'm going to miss when I leave this job, is that there is such a range that we can have these short conversations that are impactful. It's like we're just taking a break, and most of the time it has to do with music, because she's a singer. And, that's a wonderful thing. And we do creative thinking type stuff too, in problem solving and all that.
So you're saying you're against remote work? Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
As long as the numbers match up, as long as the metrics are being handled.
It's definitely the thing that managers are saying. You know, they want people talking because it straightens things out.
Unfortunately, I worked at enough places where they would say that.
And then they wouldn't listen to you
and
anyway.
And then they didn't want you to. Yeah. Then yeah. when you're back in the office, hey, can we keep the chatter down, please?
Right.
I'm like, then why am I here?
Well, the chatter, but are you working on things? Like, well, if you're next to the water fountain talking about the football game for an hour.
We're having a huddle, okay?
Yeah, right.
We're having a team huddle.
Of course, it's a cuddle huddle. So,
No.
Now HR's here. No.
Yep. Yep.
And look at that.
Yeah.
Not safe for work. Everybody do remote again.
Yeah, there you go. Everybody go home. Not with each other.
No. Hey.
But we're married. When did that happen?
Yeah, Apple had to get rid of like shared hotel rooms because everybody was messing around with you.
They're banging.
Yeah, back in the 80s. They're like, we'll save money this way. Uh-oh.
You know what they're doing? They still banging.
Yeah. They're just doing it from different hotel rooms.
It's a paradox found all over the world. Why is it so common for hospital food to be essentially bad for you?
Salt.
Lack of salt.
Yeah, you can't put salt in it because it destroys kidneys.
Oh, you can't. You can't put salt. Yeah.
So Boston Medical Center tackled the problem head on by converting their rooftops to gardens.
Even in the winter?
Even in the winter.
Wow.
I don't know. Let me keep reading.
They're only growing Swiss chard. Swiss chard for everyone.
Very, very close.
Kale.
So
winter
it's already
squash for everyone.
So it's already one of the greenest hospitals in the nation and has opened two large rooftop gardens, giving patients and physicians alike access to fresh food while adding green space to the hospital campus. They had one rooftop garden. Through which it supplied fresh foods in its cafeteria and inpatient catering. But now a second one, utilizing the ample rooftop space, which is also able to provide fresh foods to underserved communities, cementing the BMC as a place of healing, whether through a shot in the arm or a vibrant kale salad.
The kale was a bad idea.
They partnered with Boston Area Gleaners, which fruits and vegetables cultivated in the 4,900 square foot grow space.
Woo!
Yeah.
Man.
Will be distributed to local nonprofits and community centers twice weekly during the growing season. So obviously there's a fallow season.
Yes.
But there is a grow season, which addresses food insecurity and increases access to essential fresh foods across Boston. So it's the New Market Farm. It triples the grow space at BMC and quadruples the amount of produce BMC expects to grow annually. And in the garden, we have collard greens, kale, arugula, as well as culturally relevant crops, including aji dulce peppers, bok choy, and kalaloo. I don't know what kalaloo is. Do you know what kalaloo is?
No, but it sounds fun.
Yes. I thought it was that annoying bald character cartoon kid show.
Kalaloo, look it up.
Yep. I'll do that later. The green space reduces heat-absorbing pavement in the community and slows stormwater runoff impact as plants directly collect and retain rainwater. The garden operates while reducing water waste through high-tech irrigation that waters the crops directly at the root. Our rooftop farms increase green space in our community and reduce the hospital's carbon footprint. With said David Maffeo, Senior Director of Support Services at BMC. The New Market Farm models how hospitals can further invest in health in our communities while building environmentally resilient spaces. Something I would be interested in seeing is how well does the cafeteria cook those products? And how many people are eating those things?
Yeah.
What are they doing to convince them that they should be eating these? Because that's the next part. You can grow all this stuff all you want, and that's great. But if people are going, ew, kale?
This isn't lime jello. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God, no.
Food items that may help control blood sugar are expressed as being better for diabetics on the packaging, or foods that may help lower blood pressure are labeled as being potentially heart healthy. That would be things like kale and collard greens and bok choy. Yeah. A culturally diverse, the cultural diversity of the city has seen the labeling materials print in various languages, from Vietnamese to Haitian Creole.
Well, look at that.
So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it almost feels like they're kind of taking some of the Eastern medicine philosophies, which is feed. You know, you don't need to have all these drugs when you can have... There's foods that are out there that you can eat to help control that. It sounds like they're doing a little bit of implementation, or that idea has moved over to Western medicine.
Or sourcing food was expensive and seed packets were cheap.
Yeah, that's also true. Very true.
Yeah. Have you stayed in a hospital where the food was either really bad or good, or, you know?
I've only been to the hospital maybe 3 times, and the last time was for that neck surgery that I had.
Yeah.
And I don't remember any of the food, but I do remember waking up, treating any person helping me like we're on a date. It's like, I'm going to be the nicest, funniest person that you're gonna see. And I found out immediately, pretty quickly, she said, hey, would you like a popsicle? I know you're recovering. And I said, you have popsicles? And she said, yes. And I said, okay, let me make things easy for you. If you're ever heading to my room and you're wondering, I wonder if Brett wants a popsicle.
The answer is always yes.
Here you go, kale popsicle.
Bring me a kale popsicle.
Like, I still have a bone to pick with the doctor when I was 3 and got my tonsils out. Because he was like, you'll get all the ice cream you can eat. I got one cup. He's like, okay, maybe some later. I was there 4 days.
No.
I got one cup of ice cream.
4 days and you got one cup of ice cream? That was it? Yep. Man, Jip.
I think that was your mom.
I think that was almost assuredly my mom.
Yes. She yes. got all the ice cream.
That's right.
Oh, no. Doug's asleep. He wants me to have his ice cream.
Yeah, it's going to melt, so I might as well.
Yeah.
What you did at Halloween.
Yeah.
When I had my wrist surgery, I got into the hospital so late they had already served dinner. And I'd been there all freaking day. Because I broke it at like 11:35 just before noon that day. By the time that I got to the hospital, I sat in the emergency room area for 4 hours because it was the day after Christmas. Mm-hmm. So everybody who was in need of an emergency room didn't come on Christmas. They came the day after Christmas.
Sure.
And so I was sitting there and they don't want to give me pain medication yet because I haven't been x-rayed yet.
Right.
So I'm just sitting there running all of the music that I learned through Christmas in my head to kind of calm myself. And I have no charger for my phone. And my phone's losing battery. And it's, so they finally take me in to get x-rayed. X-rayed. Wow.
That is a good beer.
You were playing doctor. Okay.
Oh, a male nurse, is it?
And
I'm here for a massage.
and the guy who sort of cut open the sleeve of my dress a little bit so he could x-ray the wrist said, okay, there's a little bit of bleeding. And I was like, there was blood. I could have used that in the emergency room. I'm bleeding, for God's sake. Yeah. So I still haven't had anything to eat.
Oh, man.
And they finally finish the x-rays and get me up in the room after dinner. And I'm like, oh, for the love of God, can you get me a sandwich or something? And I think they gave me a turkey and cranberry sandwich or something like that.
Okay.
And it was the most delicious thing that I'd ever had. And then, of course, the next day I couldn't eat anything because I was having surgery.
Right.
And I think by the time I woke up. I might have had dinner, but I don't remember much about it. And then I left the next day, so it was...
Possibly a little cannibalism by point.
Yeah.
I had a roommate.
Yeah.
I don't anymore.
Have you seen the nurse?
This was Brackenridge, the hospital. Yeah.
That's where I worked there for a year.
They asked if I wanted to go to St. David's, and I said, I prefer not. They kind of killed my husband.
Wow.
But I was in
pain. Hey, thanks for telling me that, Monica, because I'm going for surgery on the 21st at St. David's.
Well, you got to remember, this was 20-some years ago.
Yeah, they got
and
better.
And I was... I was in pain.
Sure.
So I knew not what I'd said.
Maybe. So before we get to the last story... Because it's all going to kind of roll into the final song.
We should hit him up for money. Oh, wait. Oh, I said the quiet part out loud.
Yeah.
Just like all the texts I've gotten over the past
That's right.
2 months.
Like Kamala Harris, we would like to get some money from you. And you can do that by going to patreon.com/2beersin, where there you will be faced with so many opportunities to give us money, from $3 a month. That lets us know you exist. To $5 a month. That lets us know you exist.
And you have money.
And you get an extra episode. There's even a $20 a month opportunity, and you can become one of our producers. Not that you can tell us what to do. We're not going to listen to you just like we would producers.
You know.
But we will acknowledge you and say, hey, thanks for giving $20.
We'll say producer with a capital P.
That's right. That's right. So you can do that, or you can go to Venmo or PayPal, 2beersin@weightlesspod.com, which is our email address, where you can give us money. It's not real when you do it over Venmo.
No.
Nope.
Come on.
You can send Bitcoins our way, too. That would be amazing.
We'll take 3 or 4.
Sure. Just 3. Just 1.
Just you know so what? We can look at them.
I'd be fine. It's just 1.
Just so we can look at them and go, what the hell is that?
It's not real money.
It's not real. It's fungible.
That's right. Yep. Thank you for sticking with us. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for being there.
And we hope you feel less cynical than I might have been today.
Right now. Than we feel right now. That's
I'm getting
right.
my 2 beers in, that's for sure.
Yep, that's right.
Yes.
So thank you, Ryan. But, so because I wanted to wait on the end, there was a discovery that was made.
What?
Over this
that's
year.
That's the sound of discovery. What?
200-year-old waltz was unearthed. I'm saying it with quotation marks. Actually, it was at a library.
Yeah.
A museum curator uncovered a previously unknown waltz written in the hand of composer Chopin, something which hasn't happened since the late 1930s. So not only did it's found in the Morgan Library and Museum Satz collection, the manuscript music sheet contains of 24 notated measures that the composer asked the pianist to repeat. Chopin famously wrote in small forms, but his work, lasting about a minute, is shorter than any other waltz by him. It's nevertheless a complete piece, showing the kind of tightness that we expect from a finished work by the composer, the Morgan Library and Museum said in a statement released on the discovery. The beginning of the piece, well, it doesn't matter because we're going to play the piece.
Now they can re-release the box set.
Yeah. Yay. The manuscript is only slightly larger than an index card. And there's actually, if you follow the link in our show notes, you can actually see the note, which I looked at it and I go, okay, I need to look at it closer. It's based on other similarly sized manuscripts by Chopin. It's like a 4x5 card is what it's on. It assumed that it was meant as a gift. Chopin usually signed manuscripts that were gifts But this one is unsigned, suggesting that he changed his mind and said, you know what? No. The Morgan Library's associate curator of music, Robinson McClellan, first came across the manuscript when he began cataloging a collection that came to the library in 2019. So, although the piece was identified as Chopin in the collection, he found it peculiar that he could not think of any waltzes by Chopin that matched the measures on the page. McClellan called upon leading Chopin expert Jeffrey Kahlberg of the University of Pennsylvania to work with him to verify the manuscript's authenticity and to understand the role of the work in Chopin's life. So they really went through all of this. A newly discovered waltz expands our understanding of Chopin as a composer and opens new questions for scholars to consider regarding when he wrote it and for whom it was intended. To hear this work for the first time is an exciting moment for everyone in the world of classical piano.
And this comes like only about a month after they discovered a new piece by Mozart.
Right.
Right?
Newly discovered Mozart work in 200 years, and it shows that these classical geniuses can still top the charts.
Yeah. Oh, so they found the masters.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, cool.
That's right. And they called Casey Kasem.
Yeah. And here it is.
Keep your feet on the ground. Keep reaching for the stars.
Keep reaching for the stars. Yep. So we're going to play this song because I found it. Somebody had already played it. In fact, a few people had played it.
Nice.
And it was really nice. It's a nice piece of music, and it's something that should lift your spirits in these trying times.
Yay!
So, I've been Brett Weaver. I still am Brett Weaver, but I also was Brett Weaver.
He's over that now.
I'm going to probably enjoy another one of these Live Oak Oktoberfests.
I'm your co-host, Monica Ballard. I've been enjoying a Cider Blanc. Following my blackberry cider experience.
Just call it a white cider.
Hey, it's on the menu as a cider blanc.
Sure, you only drink white ciders.
Yeah.
That's right. And there's Doug over there.
No, I had a blackberry before. Yes.
You go blackberry, you never go back, Larry.
Except that I apparently...
Dead.
I cracked the keg? No, I want the keg?
You blew the keg.
I blew the keg.
That's right.
I blew the keg of crackberry, and now I'm stuck with the Cider Blanc.
And there was Doug over there.
Hey.
And I've waved bye to my Amber Wave, and I want to wave hello to another one.
So. All right.
And, we're wrapping it up.
And our friend John Stansel just came up and sat down behind us. So, hey, John, listen to this song, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.
Happy Chopin.
Bye.
Good news, everyone.